shall we pray. Heavenly Father, your prophet said that you came to us in the pillar of fire back in 1933, and we don't have any record of him saying that you left him. But we do have a record of him saying that the pillar of fire would lead us into the millennium. So we're dependent upon you, Lord, here in our midst, and we one with you, and you're one with us, and recognizing a headship in Christ Jesus. We thank you for all these things, Lord. We don't understand everything, but by grace we believe we'll understand and know those things that we ought to know in this hour. We are confident of that. We do not have a mind of our own, Lord, concerning these things, so we humbly beseech and invoke you, Lord, that you would give us your mind, an understanding of this and of yourself, for it's got to come from you. We do not want to have any share in this, Lord. We do not want to have one word into it. We want it to be all your word. And we know that's a great request, and yet it's the only request that we can make. Anything short is not going to work. So we're looking to you, Lord, for the perfect revealed word of this hour. Given to us already, it has been, but to our understanding now, feed us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated now. We won't need the machines on for a minute. Now, of course, this is the third message taken from The Way of a True Prophet that was preached by Brother Branham on May the 13th, 1962. And we got as far as page 19, and in this time, I think we can well understand the theme or the reason of this preachment. It is that Brother Branham is a true prophet. And in being a true prophet, he went to the book of Amos, Amos being a true prophet, and using the characteristics and the ways of Amos, he was able to show how a true prophet acts, and he acting and doing in that manner had to act and do it in that manner because that is the way of a true prophet. Understood or misunderstood is not it. It is being it, which Brother Branham was it, which was a true prophet. And not only is this so in the case of Amos, but later on you'll see how he brings in Micaiah, who was a true prophet who watched that word. So that's what you are looking at. So we go back to the 18th page, which is fairly close to where we left off. And he says the last three paragraphs, but here come a man not caring for that. He came with, thus saith the Lord. See, that's the way of the prophet. No cooperation, knowing what faced him. Knew that everything would be against him. Knew that they'd reject him. They knew they'd turn him down, but he was coming in the name of the Lord. Now watch that. Coming in the name of the Lord. That's a true prophet. All right. Jesus knew that Calvary was facing him, but he came in the name of the Lord. He said, I've come in my Father's name, and you put me to one side. See, that's the way of a true prophet. Now he's trying to get the people to see, I am a true prophet, said William Branham with the veil over his words. See, now, he had the word of the Lord for the nation. Now, he's speaking of Amos, though you could put Jesus in there too. But the true word of the Lord was foreign to those people. Now, you notice that. They had the books, but it was foreign to them. Yet they thought they had it. And he said in parenthesis, I hope this gets down deep. They thought that they were so pious that the real word of God was foreign to them. Now, you'll notice in here that he is letting you know that the people are interpreting the word on the grounds of themselves, which is both in conduct. And in this hour, it would be gifts and manifestations. So they're interpreting the word through whatsoever they are doing as a group, though they know better than that. Because that's right in the First book of Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. Now, they thought they were so pious and so religious. And the real word of the Lord was absolutely foreign to them. Now, he says here, and that's the way it is today. The true word of God made manifest is a foreign thing to lots of Pentecostal people. Now, you know that Amos was not Pentecostal, per se. And the people at that hour were not Pentecostal. And the time of Jesus, they were not Pentecostal. So he's letting the people know the earmarks and what to expect concerning himself, who is a true prophet. And he's warning them that the word of God made manifest. And the prophet is the word of God made manifest. So he's telling them that when you come to the definitive revelation of the word of God, it will take a prophet who is that word made manifest, and it will be foreign to the people. The word of true word of God made manifest is foreign, a foreign thing to lots of Pentecostal people. The real interpretation of the word, the real woes and curses, the real blessings of God are a foreign thing to many people who call themselves holiness. Now, he lets you know right here that people do not understand the word in relationship to cursing and blessing. They simply don't know it. Now, that's what he says. The real interpretation of the word, the real woes and curses, the real blessings of God are foreign, is a foreign thing to many people who call themselves holiness. Now, this is where I believe the parallelism of Scripture, as I call it, comes in. Wherein, scripturally, at the time of Moses, it was introduced to the people through the 12 sons of Jacob. That's Jacob's descendants, through the 12 sons. They stood upon Mount Abel, and the other stood upon Mount Gerizim. And at that particular time, God allowed from Mount Abel, or at Gerizim, the blessings to go forth, and from Mount Abel, which maybe signified evil, the curses that went forth. Now, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 61 in order to lay this in here so that you fully understand, though you've had other messages on it, what I am talking about. Now, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the good tidings of thee, hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he stops there. Now notice, and the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort those that mourn. There's a 2,000-year period at that comma, which brings us to this hour, and the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Because within vengeance lies two things. Number one, lies vindication of those that are the blessed of the Lord, and pronounced judgment upon those that are not under the blessing, and pronounced blessing to those so that they have explained to them the blessings which are of God at that time.
Amen.
Now, so then, the second part of verse 2 is where the parallelism of Scripture comes in. So we read in Isaiah 62, 1-5, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace. We could read the whole chapter, we won't. And for Joseph's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness of there go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Now notice, he doesn't quench the light in the lamp. The bruised reed he doesn't break. The smoking flax he doesn't quench. You notice, when he came to Israel, that ended it. The next time they see the scars, and they say, well, I hope that's not what I think it is. He said, oh yeah. But he said, it's all right, that had to be. He said, no problem. You understand? Now, so it says, the righteousness, God will not rest. In other words, he will not cease his activity concerning redemption of Zion until the last one is in and it's all over. Now notice, until righteousness go forth as brightness. In other words, the present hour of glory. And the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. That's where the smoking flax is not quenched. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. Shall see Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit doing the very same thing he did back there. See, that's the thing people don't understand. You go to Pentecost and say, you know that Jesus is obligated to come back and do for the Gentiles the form of the Holy Spirit at the end time what he did for Israel there in the flesh. And they say, ha, 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 yes, he's been doing it for 2,000 years. What, he hasn't been. I'm sorry for them. And the Gentiles, you see, there is it. And the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. That's the bride. That's Zion. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. And the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be merry. Now they think that's something to do with the kingdom of Israel. That's the millennium. Now, you come and say that to the fundamentalists and the Pentecostals. Well, they say, ain't no way. No wonder Brother Branham couldn't get off the ground. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 63, 1-6. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Who's with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in greatness of his strength, I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Therefore thou art red in thine apparel, and thy garments are like him that treadeth in the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiments. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the day of my redeemed is come. Notice the parallelism. You can't get away from it. With the blessing goes the curse, and with the curse goes the blessing. There is never a time they're isolated until it's all over. It's right down the road. Now, he said, I looked and there was none to help. I wondered there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and will make drunken my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Now, you know that refers to a coming that is after the first coming. See? Now you see, I think I'll place that over there when the Lord reveals himself to Israel. Well, that's all right. You can do that if you want to. I'm not going to worry about that. But I can see where the same thing obtains right now. When you go to the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, you will find at the end time, the glory of the Lord is completely revealed in manifestation of power and word. And the whole area, the people are all anointed. But they're all not anointed to the revelation. And so therefore, they are there as weeds and tares for the burning. Now, that is just, notice something here. Glory is coming, judgment is coming, and it is now in process because the prophet said the judgments of God are in the earth. And the sixth seal opened officially. Not 3.5 years, that comes under the sixth seal yet. In March of 1964, with the earthquake up there in Alaska. Now, judgment has come and is here and going on and will go on. The blessing has come, is here, is going on, and will go on. Now, there is a certain spirit that's in the land. And that spirit, because man went negative. When he left the word, he went negative. Man also psychologically can recall and does recall more frequently and vividly pain and disappointments and problems than he can the blessings and the other things that are nicer in life. So, when we speak of judgment, when we speak of vengeance, we forget that there lies the perfect parallel of the blessing. Now, what I want to get your attention is this. Because of this atmosphere and this sense that is inculcated in us, and because, like Brother Branham said, I want to get out of this pest house, and because we know the things of God in a measure, such as election, predestination, what must take place will take place, and we only standing here in faith, believing, with no proof, any evidence, that anybody can really say, well, that's it. Like Abraham, it's all shot, but you got a word from God. Man is apt to go negative. Now you listen, you're going to find your own thinking here because you've heard me say it too many times myself. All right, let it come. It's about time it came anyway. And by God's grace, I'll take what's coming to me. Right? That's not the answer. There's a blessing. And by God's grace, I'll take what's coming to me, which is that blessing. Amen. See? The parallelism of Scripture. Now, why am I saying this? Because Brother Branham said, the real interpretation of the word, the real woes and curses, the real blessings of God is foreign to them. Now, they don't know why God cursed Cain. And they're under the curse of Cain right now. Because they have the word, they live the word every way, shape, and form outside of a revelation. And the last plague that struck Israel, spiritual death, and they've already blasphemed the Holy Ghost, blasphemed the word of God, and are sealed into the burning. They don't know the real blessings. If they knew the real blessings, they wouldn't be talking about gifts. They wouldn't be talking about governments and their orders, their memberships, and all of these things. They would be with the revealed Word of God. That's the paradox. That's the paradox. Now shake yourselves and understand, Brother Sitchin, because I'm going to tell you what, I preached a series of paradox. A lot of men rejoiced. Another brother got a hold of some of the tapes on the paradox. And he was hearing some very mechanical things, like as far as I know, and he got very happy about it. You know why? Because this is so simple, it's going to go plumb over your heads. I'm through preaching complex. There's no point to it. Now, Brother Bannon said, I hope this gets down deep. When a true prophet comes on the scene, what that man says, what he does, what he stands for, what God's doing is foreign. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. This nation at this point could be inundated by the Russians. Now, we've got about 240 million people in America right now. The Russians and Chinese got together and sent over 500 million people. We'd be the foreigners. That's right. And they'd be foreign to us too, of course. And God speaks an awful lot of that which is foreign. And you go back to the Old Testament, he consistently held the foreign relationship as to be detrimental, to be destructive, to be punitive, to be judgmental. Now the same prophet of God, if he's a real prophet, is introducing the foreign element right here. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, what this word comes, which is going to contain the real blessing and the real cursing, which is going to show you what it's all about, is going to be foreign to you, and you're going to be foreign to it. Now, that's terribly simple if you just understand simplicity. You just haven't been taught right. What you know wrong. You know, a lot of people just don't know a woman is a pretty good example of a lot of things. For instance, normally a woman is not much of a mechanic. And she couldn't tell for a little while ago, a distributor cap from a carburetor. Unfortunately, I couldn't do much better. Now, if she went in and talked about a distributor cap, what would that poor guy behind the desk do to try to get the parts for a carburetor? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You've all been taught about a carburetor. You don't know the first thing about a distributor cap when it comes to this. You had the wrong names, the wrong understanding. It's just that simple. But nobody wants to start over again. What is seed time, brother, sister? Starting over again. Isn't the word to be planted again, the former rain again? So therefore we have a time when the reaper catches up with the sower. Well, this word is going plumb on. A bride's going to be out of here. The reaping, actually, is a strange reaping. Because people don't understand it. It's a ripening. It's a ripening in the sun. And your reaping at this time, your being reaped at this time, is the fact that you're ripening under the word of Almighty God. They didn't understand the real woes and real blessing. Church members, Christians, it's a foreign thing to them. They don't know it. Mention it to them. Never heard of such a thing. Ah, come on. Never heard of what? Woes and cursing? Sure. Well, yeah, sure it did. Not the way the prophet said it. Not the way the prophet said it. God's word being manifested? Not the way the prophet said it. Or they said, God's word, that's tongues, that's interpretation, that's this, that's that. This is the people coming in. A million more in 54 and so on. He said, that's not it all. He said, you blew it. And yet their organizations grow and prosper, getting bigger and bigger, and members all the time. More organizations added every year. They thought that anything that came to them, had to come out of those sectarian groups. No way. See? All right. Certainly, they wouldn't receive him. Neither would they do it today. People say, well, hey, if this William Branham you talk about is so great, how come we didn't hear about him? No way to hear about him. Your big boys wouldn't receive him. See? They had long forgot that God was able of these stones to raise up true prophets to God. God able of the backwoodsmen, able to raise up these stones, men that'll stand for his word and prophesy in his name the truth, laying the axe to the root of the trees and let the chips fall. I don't care whether you got cooperation or no cooperation, but that's the way of a true prophet. Now, he's talking about bringing the days of Jesus, wherein he was present in flesh, to this hour where the prophet is the manifested word of God in flesh, where the Spirit has come, and to do for the Gentiles what he did back there. And he's letting them know that they're not going to be able to believe it. They're not going to take it. Now, they will reject Matthew 12, which is the complete picture of Jesus in the Holy Spirit, form of the Spirit, doing what he did back there when he was on earth. Now, we're going to go to Matthew 9 and read verse 24, if I got this down right. Now, Jesus went to the place where the little girl was dead. And he said, she is not dead, she is just sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. You hear something? The same people that saw that happen said, well, you fooled us. Wonderful. But you're still not going to sell us all that junk that you preach is to be the revealed word of God. Amen. And that you're the word of God. Get out of here. You got the same thing right today. There is no way that Christ can be received in the form of the Holy Spirit. Notice this prophet is going to be a loner. And he will refuse to be advised. Because advice comes from organizations and men around him. But he will advise. He has thus said the Lord. Some people think this prophet's got it easy. They don't know what they speak of. He wasn't brought to town in a carriage. Fine harness horses with their tassels and high priests standing out there with big high things on their heads bowing to him. Honorable Dr. So-and-so is coming. That would have been some organizational setup. Well, this man's not part of organizations. Do you think they're going to kowtow to him? No. They just might send an emissary like the scribes and the Pharisees to John. And then when the thing gets hot, they sent a delegation to Jesus and said, lay it on the line, boy. He ain't telling us nothing. Now let's just think of this a minute. What if Brother Branham is really correct? That the Holy Spirit has come up through the church, through seven church ages, and has returned to headship. Now they don't even know where that's found. Do you know where it's found? Ephesians 4. Exactly where it is. The same one is in Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. His work previously, in between 1:17-19 and Ephesians 4:15-16, was the continuity of Ephesians 1:13-14 for everybody, and a specialized ministry of the word from verse 7 to about 15 of chapter 4. I know what I'm talking about. The theologian doesn't. You know why I know? The prophet gave the keys. I wouldn't know myself. But you saw the paradox. I was 100% on target. Because you can't change the word of God. Now, they're not going to listen. Because, you see, if he was one of them, he would be saying what they said. And that's always where the whole thing goes. Everything is based on a word, which formulates a philosophy known as a doctrine. And what if your word's wrong? What if I still got that in my Bible? Reader's Digest. Was it Mitchell? Yeah, he went over there to Africa and he wrote this. Integrity in words protects integrity in life. If the word is corrupted, everything that stems from it will be evil. How did that man write that? Under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Just like this, every eye see him. So, brother, I don't know that every eye saw him. Well, every eye, per se, wouldn't have to see him. Because it says all Jerusalem went out to him. Do you mean the whole city emptied? Where do you put him? I don't say that's right, but it's something to think about. Honorable Dr. So-and-so. And like the king of all them came to a stable in a barn. Cow barn. Never came in pomp and glory. Came in humility of a baby born in a barn. That's where you and I got to come as little children. Forget what you know. Amos didn't come the word of the Lord. No, see, Amos didn't come, the word of the Lord, because he was the word of the Lord. there's a little discrepancy in there, but he's trying to tell you this. Amos could not have come that way because he was the word of the Lord. Any word of God, it isn't the person, it's God. Now, see, there's the thing he's trying to get your eyes on. Don't get your eyes on the man and get carried away just because there's a difference in how he acts, the difference in how he dresses, the difference in how he speaks and all those things. He said, begin to probe it in the light of what really lies there, if anything is lying there. See? Don't try to identify it in the regular channels. That's why you can't understand Brother Branham with your own thinking. Jesus said, it's not I that do the works. They said, you're a man making yourself God. He said, then if I do not the works of God, won't believe me. But if the works speak themselves, believe the works if you don't want to believe me. Let's go back to John 10 where he's into that. That's the best way to do it, just keep going to Scripture, what he says. All right, 30 to 38. Now, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, see, that blew the miracles right there. Now, look, let's get this fact. They were zealous. They were ready to die if necessary, and die they did. You bet. They're ready to die for what they said. They said, I'm my Father, and they said, get him. That does it. Entirely irrational. Because they couldn't put it together, and they wouldn't listen. Then the Jews took up stone to stone him. Jesus said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works you stone me? They said, for good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. You see, always the paradox. It's not what is done, it's what is said about that which is done. When it comes to this, you being a man, make yourself God. Jesus said, is it not written in your law, ye are gods? And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, that's the prophets, Brother Branham said, the scripture cannot be broken. Seeing, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified, sent in the world, thou blasphemes, because they said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now, the challenge was thrown out. Take it to the Word and see where it goes. They wouldn't take it to the Word. They took it right to the creeds and dogmas. They worry what Hillel said and Shamil said. They didn't care about anybody else. Didn't care what God said. They're two great theologians. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works. Now, in other words, there must be something in the definitive that positively indicated that when this one came, he would be involved in those works. Now, if Brother Branham is correct in his statement that he is obligated to do for the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit the end time what he did to his flesh, then that's got to be in the Word, and it is in the Word. As this was in the Word. But they chose to disregard the person that was the authority. They still can't understand how that this big Russian bull comes in and picks up these big weights. Now here's a little old skinny somebody here that can't, like me, can't lift up a toothpick. Now if you've got 1 ounce of brains, I don't know if you have or not. Sitting here listening to me, I don't think you have. You would say, Lee, I want you to explain all about bulging muscles. Well, how bulgy? Go to the Russian. He's the guy with the muscles. He'll tell you about muscles. He's the authority. Now, a word prophet is an authority. And at this particular time, it is a tremendous authority. Because you have an actual repeat. Now, why could they not understand that a prophet would thus saith the Lord, plus this ministry that would rival a ministry like Moses? There was a legitimate parallel in the ministry of Jesus Christ. How come they couldn't say and see, hey, that guy's got something. Wonder if he'll tell me about it. So they came and they said, how does this work? How does that work? How's the other thing work? And he began telling him, and all he got was a great big fat schmozzle. I got enough brains to not ask anybody how a car works. It wouldn't do you any good to tell me, forget it. Because I'm not interested in messing with cars. Well, neither were these people interested in messing with the Word, so to speak. They wanted to know how to perform gifts. They said, well, Brother Branham, don't tell those lovely ladies not to wear slacks and not to cut their hair. Teach them on gifts. He said, how can I do that when they don't know their ABCs? How can I teach algebra? See? He couldn't understand. Now he said, look, you just take a good look at those works. And if you can find anybody here outside of me doing it, he said, all right, if you find somebody, forget it. But if when you look, you cannot find anybody. And William Branham was known as number one man. Doing what nobody else did. And when John 10 was over, Jesus said, if I had not done the works any other man did, they had not sinned. But he said, now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. And when he opened the eyes of the man born blind, the man born blind said, he said, what's the matter with you guys? Amen. He said, this fellow's got to be somebody. Amen. When was it ever heard that a man born blind ever had his sight returned? And that's true. Nobody ever knew of it. So why don't you listen to him? He's got to have something nobody else has got, not even in the history book. Oh, they said, shut up. Who are you trying to tell us? So Jesus turned around and said, he said, I'm going to tell you something. You say that you see. Therefore, you're blind, and your blindness remains. Now, a true prophet has got to do that. Because Jesus was the prophet, he came and did it. Now, you know, his brother Branham just threw Jesus in here the odd time. He goes back to Amos. He goes back to Micaiah. When we tell you something, the parallel is Jesus. The parallel is Jesus. Well, they couldn't take it. So he said, if I don't do the works of God, then don't believe me. Now, he said, the works are trying to tell you something. Believe the works. If you don't want to believe me, then you'll begin to see something. Amos was God's word walking down the road. Now, Amos wasn't the Word of God walking down the road. He was God's Word. There's a difference between God's Word and the Word of God, if you understand the emphasis. He walked in crudely, not in the fashions of the world. He came in the power of the Spirit. That's the way the Word of God comes. Not in organizational creed, not in sissified something in the pulpit, but it comes in the power of the Spirit to manifest God to the nation and to the people. It's different. How much different? Well, let's go back and find out if the man's true or not. We read this dozens of times. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. I, brethren, when I came to you, came out excellency, of speech and of wisdom, giving little sugar tits, as Brother Branham said, declaring unto you the testimony of God. How could you fully reveal and bring into operation a testimony of God, unless you had something to back it up? You just couldn't come out and say, well, bless the Lord, I was dreaming last night and I had this great dream, said this sister, and she said, there's no such thing as one God, I saw three of them. There was the big God and a middle God and a little God. I said, she saw the three bears. And of course they were, of course I blasphemed right there. I was very kind when I said that. I should have said she'd been seduced by the devil like her forerunner Eve. She's a part of the organization. Satan's already got her where he wants her. I didn't know to say that, or I would have. A vision. When did a woman ever have a vision of God? Not running women down. Let's get the thing in order. I know people think we're tough on women. Hogwash. You go out here now, you have to have cross-pollinization. So what do? You got a bunch of female holly and don't bring any male hollies around. There's going to be no holly. Just a law God laid down. Women can't handle the word. God laid it down. They're not going to be prophetess that have the word and visions and that. Or some little vision they might have, but don't talk about Godhead. Show just where she was. She's way off the word. Now, It's realized, well, I'm reading here, in testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Christ Him crucified. And He said, I was with you in fear and weakness and in much trembling, my speech and preaching not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. Did He just raise His voice and yell and wave His arms? Ha! You could be a hypocritical slob and do that. He must have something to back him up. A vindicated prophet. I just challenge anybody to meet with the pillar of fire and talk with God face to face and come along and say, Amen. Oh, He was wonderful. I was marvelous. We say, oh, I believe that. I believe that. Half fat. Give me something to go by. That's like somebody said, be you warned and fed. I know you don't have any, but I won't give you a nickel to help you, but be you warned and fed. Oh, come on. Pass the buck, kid. Don't just give me five fingers. Give me $5. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Look, the insane are out there, not here. The insane are outside. Now it's realized, but forgot long ago, that God is able of stones to raise up true prophets. We'll get that in a minute. See, raise up from stones prophets. They didn't have, their organization didn't have to raise up a true prophet because they perhaps couldn't do it. Because it'd be an organizational prophet. Sure. But God raises, God takes what He wants. He takes nothing usually to do His work. The weak things, you know, the humble things. Shows that it's God. If a man's all puffed up and thinks he's something, then God can't use him because there's too much of himself. That's what's the matter with the Christian church today. They think they know something, but the Bible says when a man thinks he knows something, he knows nothing as he ought to know it. Let's find out about that one. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 8 because he's trying to tell us something here. We better look it up. Let's read the first two verses. It says, touching things offered to idols, you know that you have all knowledge. Knowledge puffs up and charity edifies. Look at that. He's talking about idols. Idolatry. And he said, you've got a knowledge of it. He said, you've got every single bit of knowledge that you know. But he said, knowledge puffs up, charity edifies. And if any man think he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know it. I'm telling you right there, in terms of, and the topic is idolatry. And he said, you've got idolatry all figured out. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got it figured out. Because they're going to leave the gospel. They're going to leave the Spirit of God. That's right. I'll read right in 2 Corinthians. The same bunch went completely haywire. You know it as well as I do. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And here's what Paul said was going to happen. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, we have not preached, receive another spirit, we have not received, and preach another gospel. They would go wrong on Jesus, on the Spirit, on the Word. They couldn't reconcile one God. They'd be in idolatry. And he said, oh, you know all about idolatry. That's going before those images there and offering food and say this. And the Catholic Church comes right along and says, well, now, this image represents Mary. It wasn't. It was the Queen of the Heavens, Ashtaroth. Old Irene, the rest of them. But we'll give it a Christian name. We'll make this one Paul. See, really Jupiter, something else, you know. That's why we know all about idolatry. It's right in the Catholic Church, right in the Protestant Church. Now, when did God send prophets? Mostly at a time of idolatry. Yep. Now, that's the trouble today. We've got so much self, so much hypocrisy, sure, because they know better, see, so much education, so much religion, and know nothing about the salvation of the Word of God. Now, it doesn't say the salvation that people think they know. It's the salvation of the Word of God. Because Paul said they lead the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. They couldn't, and at the end time, they went Jesus only. Brother, I'll tell you what, you talk about a cooped up situation. Now, that's a pitiful part of it. They don't understand. Well, let's go back and understand. So we go to Philippians, the third chapter. Verses 1 to 9. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You write the same things to you as to me is not grievous for you, it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. That's Cain. Beware of concision. That's your legalist. For we are of the circumcision, that's a grace man, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Jesus Christ. Have no condemnation. Notice he said, we worship God, rejoice in Jesus Christ. Got to keep them where they belong. No condemnation in the flesh. Though I might have condemnation in the flesh, if any man thinks that whereof he might trust the flesh, I am more circumcised 8 days, the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew to Hebrew, such in law Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, such in righteousness in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. He doubtless, I count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. Notice, the knowledge is what's going to do him the good. And for whom I suffered all the loss of all things. How? Through a knowledge. You don't suffer and have any trouble with Jesus. You just talk sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. But you talk about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, talk about a hornet's nest. They'll roast your hide for you right now. Let's get the understanding, brother, sister. The doctrine's what stirs up all the trouble. It's not talking about Jesus. Even a Hindu will go along with you.
Amen.
And you say, I wish you were more like Jesus, because didn't your Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead? We could use a fellow like that. Oh, certainly you could. Well, this, the fellow that did it, has something to say. What did you say?
Amen.
Oh, sure. That's the Bible said, plug your ears. Stretch the neck, poke out the tongue. It's all scriptural. But I just make that up. Well, I'm pretty close. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not far off the word on that one. There's some scripture for it. Just got to get together on it. Now, listen, let's go to Philippians 2 now, though. 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, equal with God, but made himself a reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and made the likeness of men, and being found in fashion of man, humbled himself, became being in death, even the death of the cross. Now it tells you right there, and that Brother Branham brought that very scripture out. The becoming of God. And they said, forget it, we don't want that. You cannot come, no prophet can get away with what he says. They'll get him. That's right. I don't care what anybody says. That's the Bible says that. I'll give you in just a little while. Now, yes, they forgot that God was able of these stones to raise children to Abraham or raise up true prophets of the word. Now, in other words, the prophet is saying here, look, get this flat. This is how God does it. He's not going to raise stones into prophets. Stones that cry out. This is how he does it. But he could do it if he wanted to. He could do it. They don't have to come out of some certain school. God gives them their schooling. They don't have to have 4 degrees in college. They'd be mostly cold anyway. They don't have to have their Bachelor of Art and their doctor's degree and so forth. They don't have to have that. God takes anything he wants to and puts his word in it. I like what he said there, because I've often said this. If God put his word in the doorknob, or God was in the doorknob, that'd be God. That's how Brother Branham was God to the people. That's how Jesus was God. He was more than a man. Let's get that. And Brother Branham had a ministry more than a man's. And he had a ministry more than just Ephesians 4. Oh, yeah. Don't sell that short, brother, sister. Now it says here, God takes anything he wants to put his word in it. How does he do it? He manifests it and proves it. Paradox. Just as soon as God proves it, they're not going to listen anyway. What is God trying to do? Get his word across. What is he trying to do to get his word across? Get his people out. Get them in. They don't understand. Now, why does he keep saying about the stones? About God could make stones become prophets. Oh, let's go back to John 40 and see if we just get a little insight here. I don't know how good my insight is, but the prophet has a reason for saying these things. And so I kind of look at it, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Okay. 3-8. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Every valley should be exalted, every mountain and hill should be made low. A crooked should be made straight, the rough place is plain. The glory of the Lord should be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, the mouth of the Lord spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Now remember, the word is likened to a rock. So therefore, the word is foundation as a rock, and therefore then anybody that brings the word would have to be solid rock. So yeah, you're getting a basis right there on it. All right, let's go to Luke 19, 38 and 40. It says here, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the multitudes among the Pharisees from among the multitudes said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now what they're crying out is what the prophet said. They would cry out. Now let's go back to Luke, the third chapter and the eighth verse. He said here, bring forth therefore fruits meet worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Now he's telling you right there, and as I see in the continuity, that whatever Abraham was, being a prophet, and whatever it constitutes a prophet by reason the word goes back to God. And therefore, when Jesus said, Peter said, you're the children of the prophet, he's showing a continuity there. That if there wasn't somebody here now to be the fulfillment of that word, God would be duty bound to perform a creation or to bring to pass in another element, a sphere, that which would fulfill his word, because his word cannot return void. It's got to be fulfilled. So he said, now look here, he said, if these didn't do it, he said, he'd raise up stones. What do you want? Amen. Cut the human race out? No, that's why Moses said, he said, if you kill them, kill me. But the day they came against Moses and the word, he said, Lord, he said, if these men die the common death, you didn't even send me. He said, forget it. See, a prophet doesn't fool with the word, brother, sister. He doesn't fool with it. See, there's your paradox. They couldn't say what seminary Jesus came out of. He didn't have any. So how could they say it? What school did he come from? Didn't have any. What did he have? He had God. And he was the Word. They couldn't point back to some school. God never did raise a man out of a school. Go down through history, find out where he ever did. He doesn't. He takes something from somewhere else that's got nothing, no hope. You say, well, what about the Apostle Paul? Well, what a testimony Paul gave his church. They filled my head with manure. Brother, I have problems with sinus. What a testimony. Where did you get your theology? Out of the barnyard. Rabbi so-and-so had the finest manure spreader in the country. Oh, brother. God gets him out. Here's old Paul. Who are you? Who aren't you, Lord? I'm Jesus. He said, would you say? Oh, he said, oh, I'm in trouble. He said, I'm in great trouble. He said, there, the whole thing. The whole thing went right there. God struck him blind to give him light.
Praise the Lord.
God struck a man dumb so when he came to, he'd say the right thing. So God's using his chisel and his hammer trying to chisel out all this hardened matter up here, this, pardon the expression, fecal matter. So when the blood is applied, the life can begin to flow to the brain. You get somewhere. Don't feel bad if your thoughts have got to go. What have you been trying to do all these years? You didn't even know it. You're struggling to get rid of your own lousy thinking. Who needs to think when it's been thought out? He takes something from somewhere else that's got nothing, no hope for it. Then he brings that and places his word in it and manifests himself. He's talking about Paul there now, you see. That's what he's doing here in Amos. All right. Now, Amos' word was vindicated by God in the day, in their own days. Now, that's back there. What's he going to do today? If William Branham's a true prophet, Amos is a true prophet, we're going to have a parallel. God vindicated his Amos' word to be the word of the Lord. And if he would come to us right now, do you think our nation and our people would receive a man like that? Do you think the Baptists would receive Amos, the Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecost, Catholic? No, sir. No, certainly not. All right. Now, the thing is this, God and the prophet has one word.
Amen.
And the seminary doesn't have the word. The organization doesn't have the word. And the prophet by himself doesn't have the word. And a prophet of God can only have God's word. See, I put my word in your mouth. Right.
Amen.
Now, what was the reaction to this man? Kill him. See? Now let's look for a moment. Just for a moment, transport Amos and bring him here just a minute and find out if they would do what they would do or not, what they would do with him. Let's just see whether the churches would receive him today. All right. The first thing he would do, he would disagree with organization. Why? Because of blasphemous names.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? You're Baptist, Methodist, says you're Christian. Doesn't say anything about Catholic, Protestant, this, that, and the other thing. Now, both the words Catholic and Protestant are good words. Because the Catholic means universal, and Protestant means to protest. And certainly they should do both. The Catholic Church should have protested. The only time they protested was that when something came against them, which was the light, they said, hey, we're the original. The original what? The original fallen church. That's what they were. Anybody knows that. The Catholic Church knows it. They know they're off target. Come on.
Right.
Certainly. Talk to their theologians. Now they're talking in tongues. I got nothing wrong with that. They do what they want. You're going to hit the organizations. I remember Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. There'll be those come in their own name. See? But Brother Branham came in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amos came in the name of the Lord. Jesus came in the name of the Lord. Paul came in the name of the Lord. That's why you and I are in the name of the Lord. That's why we're Mrs. Jesus. The word of betrothal. Yes, sir. He would condemn our entire whole setup. That's right. Every doctrine. Now listen. Every doctrine. Every creed. Every denomination. He'd condemn the whole thing. You see, now hold it, hold it, hold it. No, that's right. It's get out or die with it. How many lived to stay in Egypt? Why, come on, a whole mob that came out of Egypt died. Fat. Coming out, anybody can come out. Years ago, they had these debutante parties, the coming out. I remember when I was a little kid, we read in the paper about this great socialitist, or what her name was, coming out. Maybe she was one of the Dodge daughters, or Vanderbilt, or Astor, who gives a rip. And, of course, some were as ugly as a hedge fence. So her coming out didn't bring her in for marriage. Anybody can come out.
Right.
Pardon my vulgarity, but I'm vulgar. So one girl once said, she said, pardon my manners, I don't have any. So that's the way it is. If you think I'm uncouth, then go out and buy me some couth. My goodness, what a mess the world's in. The whole thing's a mess. I can see some Pentecostal presbyters saying, why, glory to God. Why, we wouldn't have that man in our town, no. What do you think the Presbyterian Baptists would do? Why, that ignoramus. We don't want him around our country. Nothing but a crank. They'd sign a paper to put him in prison, if they could. Get him off the streets. But you think that could keep him there? Oh, no, you can't cage the Word of God. They put Paul in prison. He said, I'm bound in prison. But he said, the Word of God is not bound.
Right.
And being in prison, he got to the top man, the big man at the top. And day by day, people came and got the Word. There's a parallel right here if I wanted to talk about it. Oh, no. It'll come forth anyhow. Prison bars opened one night when they tried to cage it. A light came, delivered Peter out. Oh, no, you certainly disagree with our setup. Delivered Paul, too, you see. Well, what would he start doing? Now, this is going to tell you about this ministry. What would he start doing? Tearing it down. Why? He's the servant of God. Then what about a fivefold ministry? Where are they? What's good to having a prophet? You don't walk any steps. Why do you think he reared back that day and said, somebody's got to tell him? Who wants somebody else to tell him? I'd like to get the heat off for a while myself. Let me tell you something. You stick your neck out, God won't let you down. You don't stick your neck out, you're already down. Abraham had to stay there and say, I'm father of nations. Hallelujah. He said, you got a young wife? He said, there she is right there. Why, man, she looks worse than you do. Sure, she is. We're going to have it anyhow. Oh, my, he said, poor. You know, Abraham, if he just did his crackpot religion. Oh, that brother Brandon, you know, you can't say a thing against his character. Heavens to Betsy, the man had a ministry just like Jesus Christ. But, oh, merciful heavens, that doctrine. Brother Branham, I tell you what. As one fellow said, he's Mr. Oriole of the Way. Back in 1957, was it? Somewhere in there, back in Lima. He said at the, what's that hotel right down there? The nice hotel. They got a good restaurant again. Right off of Main Street, just a little bit. off of Market Street. That one anyway. You know where it is, Bill Marion. We know where it is. And sat there at dinner table, and he said, William Branham, he said, you ought to do the praying for the sick and leave the teaching to us teachers. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, lovely love. Kennedy's menage a trois has nothing on some of that stuff. You know what it means? Look it up, and I'll explain it to you. Give you the quotes. All right. Where are we? Well, let's find out. I've been talking Ephesians 4, so let's read it to you. We don't want to make any mistakes. We've got all day, and we're not going anywhere this minute. And I'm not going to get this sermon finished to Brother Branham for a long, long time, especially if I go away for a little while. So we're going to take our time. I'm not in any rush. Give me the 90 minutes and it's over. All right. He that went up came back as the Holy Ghost in order to fill all things, to bring about the ascension that he wants. He gave what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, five ministries. That's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost, my brother, my sister, but they got to have it. This is a special purpose for a special thing that came from the beginning and worked itself down until it came right back to headship, the Holy Spirit, through seven church ages, back to headship. Now, for the perfecting of the saints. There are already saints that get this. This doesn't make you born again. This is because you are born again. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. In other words, going to be sons. Carried out every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craft, wherever thy land wait to deceive. But holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body. In other words, whatever he came, it step by step and poured in from the foundation. You know, I showed you what it was in the statue of perfect man. Well, here we are right up here. It's the same thing. Here we are, everything coming down this way, coming down, poured into the church. See? Until one day it was all down. Then it was all down. What you back to? Headship. Why? Because if it's all down, then he's all here. All the word, the whole thing. What more do you want? I don't understand people's thinking. Of course, I'm not even going to try to understand people's thinking. I'm trying to understand God's thinking. Now, here it is. It says here, from the whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Tells you. Coming down to bring it up. It's all poured in. It's over. Back to headship. All right. Now, fivefold ministry's got to do that. Where do you get it from? Get it from the prophet. What is this? Former rain again, in the time of latter rain. Original sowing, same sowing. You're right back to original. If you correct the errors, there's no problem. Fill in what's missing. Okay. What would he start doing? Tearing it down. Why? He's a servant of God. He'd go straight to the foundation to start his campaign. Right straight back and tear every creed off it and go back to the foundation. Brother Branham said, he's in full view because the sword of the prophets ripped aside every creed and every dogma. So you got an understanding. What is the foundation? Oh, God's word. Right. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall not. Anything that's not the word of God, brother, sister, offends. Anything that's not the word of God offends. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God is offended with organization. Oh, the Lord loves organization. No, he doesn't love your organization. I'm sorry about that. He hates it. So you tear every denomination, every creed, every doctrine out of it. Throw it sideways. Blast it to eternity. You think Presbyterians receive him? No, sir. Baptists, Presbyterians? No, sir. Nazarenes, Pentecostals? No, sir. Pilgrim Holies? They'd hate him. Certainly. Then should a fivefold ministry have a different? If you're a hail fellow well met, then just go on and meet some more. Go meet him once more. Go sit around picking your teeth and saying nice little things that you think are so nice. You know, it's like, I tell you what, honest to Pete, I this is something I can't understand. It just makes me want to vomit. Is when you see these people that are really cultivated, you know, just come around, they're slurping on something. What they're eating, they love, and it would nauseate me plumb to my middle. But you say, I don't think you should tear down. I don't know what you're thinking about. I've been here for just about two solid years tearing down. Everybody's thinking I can, starting with my own. Tearing it all out as best I can, bring it right back to where the prophet is. If I'm there, I don't know. I hope so. At least we're trying. See? Now, they hated Jesus, they hated Amos, they hated Brother Bam, they're going to hate us. You'd think they'd go out and meet him in a limousine or bring the city? Or they'd pray for the sun to scorch him up there. I wonder if Brother Branham heard about himself just about that time. Because you know he could hear things in his closet like Elisha did. He could get the secrets. I saw De Courcy's letter. You know, De Courcy was a very famous Christian at one time. I don't know if he's living or not. But he was in intelligence, and his articles concerning Russia and communism were in all the big papers. He was a very big lead man in Britain. And you know that he approached Brother Branham through channels, that Brother Branham, having a ministry like Elisha, that he could sit here in the United States and read what's going on in the Kremlin. And Brother Branham thought it over. Why not? And then he realized, or whatever happened, he never did. No, you don't get into politics with the things of God. They set up a barricade to keep him out of town. In other words, they blackball him in the organization. Why, there'd be more ministerial meetings over the city you ever saw in your life. Keep that crank out of this city. But yet he had thus said the Lord. See, that's the way of a true prophet. You know, when Brother Lanham came to Lima in 1957, I guess it was, we had gone there and tried to get the Allen County Memorial Hall. And we got it, all right, and it got on fire. And so don't you know they had to remodel it. And so the Fishers of Men bunch, which is your big fundamental bunch, you know. I think it's, well, I'm not going to say that much. Too many puns won't always spoil a sermon. I'll let it go. But anyway, they couldn't have that building either then, you see, because it wasn't ready for the time their big deal came on. So they went down to a high school auditorium. And I found out later on, they said, well, we're sure glad because, you see, our crowd would have brought a crowd for that Branham guy. And we didn't want it because, you see, he's such a mess. That's what they said about him. And then you know what happened? And they had a tiny little bunch down near high school, and that arena, that building was almost packed up. Oh, yeah, we'll do our best, you know, that guy. Who is he? Well, you see, we don't go for healing. That's just Mark 16. You're gone. You're gone. Because the man himself, God, pillar of fire, came right down and said, this is the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. And it was. Amen. And they said, oh, we love you, Lord, hallelujah. He says, shut up. You hate me. Oh, now, oh, don't you dare answer back to me, brother, sister, just here. I'm going to take you right to Matthew. I'm going to take you right to Matthew. 7 over here. 21, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. And many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils, done wonderful works? He said, I never knew you. Never knew you. You never were in the election. You bet. Now see, keep that old crank out. But yet he has, thus saith the Lord. See? That's the way of a true prophet. He'd be despised, certainly. He'd go straight to the foundation for his campaign. He wouldn't say, now I want all you Methodists, come in and help me, all you Baptists. I want all the people around here, all Pentecost. You claim you're the last group that God's going to call. I want you all come to me. I want you to support my campaign. Well, how can he say that when the Spirit's supposed to call him out? See? Now, he said this fella here, which is talking to Jesus, the same time of Amos talking about him. Now, he said, right here, he said, he'd be despised, certainly. Okay? Let's go to John 15. Now, here's what they did to Jesus, 18 to 21. Said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were in the world, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know something? How would you like to lose one of your fingers? He said, no way. Neither does any organization or church that doesn't understand like to lose even the teeniest member, though he or she didn't do much. I don't like losing my little finger. I could get along without it. I don't like losing it. Nor does organization. And they'll fight. They'll kill for it. The Catholic Church kills to bring them in. They kill to keep them in. The Protestants are just as rotten. They're doing the same rotten things because they're going to, where the one will just use physical death, the other uses spiritual death, although they're both in there together on it. Now, I remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my sayings, they'll also keep yours. Okay? Very good. John 16, 1-3. And that's just the same page. These things I spoke that you should not be offended. They'll put you out of synagogues. The time comes, they'll kill you, think they do God a service. And all these things they'll do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now they'll tell you that's their recourse. The recourse is death, penalty, disruption, persecution, because they can't answer the word. Never could, never will. They got their own. He'd be despised, yep. How do you baptize? What's the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost? Those questions, they'd be thrown in his face. And he'd come back with Bible truth. And they'd turn him down. But that's the way of a true prophet. He's got all that to confront. See? Then what about the ministry? We got a bunch right now that got this big ecumenical thing going amongst us. I can't buy that for 1 minute. I believe you don't unchristianize anybody. Try to be the very best you can and all. But look, either William Branham lied in one place or lied in another place, or you got to reconcile what he said. He said he came. He said, by the grace of God, we have the perfect interpretation of the word this hour. And I want to ask one question. Who William Branham gave? He said, I did. God gave it to me. And he said, I've got a gift that I can tell it just like he told me, and I can tell it exactly as he showed me. And nobody else, but nobody's got that gift. I've got it, so therefore I am right. I'm infallible. Does anybody make up your mind? Did you not say one word off of Satan's kingdom? Oh, well, that was above. That was did I say that? Do you think he talked like that? That's what he said, one word off of Satan's kingdom. What if I'm off? But he did explain it later on, got deeper when he went into the hole. He said it goes off on doctrine. I'd known that for years, but never found where he said it. So one day I discovered where he said it. It's when you change it. And I don't care if you use one word or a million words. If you change it, it's done change. If you change the meaning, if you change the application, if you misdivide, you are no longer approved. Then if you're not approved, are you sitting there in a neutral condition? No! He that's not for me is against me. You can't be in neutral. I keep preaching. We've rounded a corner. You're not sitting on a fence anymore. And when you turn a corner, my brother, my sister, you've turned a corner. You're no longer in that direction.
Amen.
You're no longer seeing what you once saw.
Amen.
And all right, don't try to fool with it. Even reading a road map wrong is great difficulty. Gives you great promise. Certainly we wouldn't receive him. No, sir. We'd have none of his campaigns in our country. No, indeedy. We wouldn't have him. No, sir. But he would come and bring the church back to the Word, and that is the foundation. Why is it the foundation? Because that's exactly true. See, how do you know? Because that's where they got off. What's the first thing God began to do in the beginning? Divide his Word.
Amen.
That's all. Divide his Word, which separate his thoughts. Sit there for trillions of years, and then it's all over. And begin to come forth in a manifestation, God becoming. God had to put himself in a position whereby creation could come. Now, anybody lays any other foundation, it sinketh sand. That's right, the Bible says so. That's in Matthew. Upon this foundation alone, God builds his church, upon the doctrine of the apostles. Why is this so? Well, over in Hebrews 3:11, it says, by faith you understand the worlds were formed by the word of God, nothing else. Let's go back to Job 26 and 7. He stretches out the north over the empty space and hangeth the earth upon nothing. What's the foundation? Word. What's the foundation of everything? Word.
Amen.
People say it's God. No, it's Word. Of course, God is the Word, but just don't take that too far in this particular instance. Remember, he's the capstone. As I was saying the other day, there's something, someone talking about purgatory and gave a reference to many like St. Francis and Cecilia. She's praying for certain people out of purgatory. Give such an authority as that. That's unscriptural authority. It's people who does that, that does not have authority. Remember that Mormon came to me one time in Canada, and he saw me discerning, which I shouldn't have been doing, and praying for sick and to get healed. And he said, by what authority do you do that? I said, you answer me a question first. I said, do you have the authority to do this? He said, yes. I said, can you do it? He said, no. I said, isn't that strange? You've got authority and can't. And according to you, I don't have authority and can't. Aren't you a bit mixed up? Goodbye, Mormon. Another fat mouse shot. He's gone. He didn't like that. Well, I had a ball, of course. I might have been on scripture, but hallelujah, you know. Ignorance is bliss, as folly to be wise. In a case like that, I didn't know that I shouldn't be discerning. But there's such a thing as discerning devils, and I was working in that realm at that time, knowing the spirits were there, knowing what they were, and what was doing it. And then the spirits were cast out, the kid was okay. So that was scripture to that degree. But later on, I understood where I was wrong, and God was good. He forgave me because of his ignorance. Now, I said, I don't believe in purgatory, but I do believe in purgatory, but I believe it's right now. There's a purging in Hebrews 12. You purge your own soul. Purgatory means to purge. When you see you've done something wrong, get out there and clean it out of you by confession and crying and fasting and praying. Someone even laughed at me when the Lord came here not long ago and gave me a vision. I always wanted to see about binding that serpent. I don't know who laughed. He didn't tell us. I always wondered how I should step out like that. Then that's what I wanted all my life. I began to fast and pray, and he said, what do you do that for? I said, in there, he said, I was not sincere enough. I had to come now to purge myself, not wait till you die and let some priest purge you. Purge your souls. Now then, the effect of a true purging is a sincerity. And sincerity means to be sold out to a condition or a thing and the conditions that are with it. So we're sold out to this word and what goes with it. But see, they took it out of the authoritative word and put it in the hands of man-made dogmas to bring money in the church. Because they look at worldly things, worldly church, great powers and political powers. God looks to his word. And any word that's contrary to God's word is wrong. As far as I'm concerned, it's the word or nothing. Yes, sir. You'll notice that Brother Branham is in complete agreement with what I have taught. That the Roman Catholic Church started with the truth, even with the Pope, which was the vicar of Christ, which was Paul. That's right. He was the one. The next one is Irenaeus. But remember, the true vicar was the Holy Ghost himself. But he had to have a counterpart. He had to have someone to work through. But the Catholics began electing somebody.
Amen.
Sure, there were seven major victors, so to speak. Seven spirits of God before the throne. Seven men down here. Then at the end time, remember, he said up there they represented, and there they are here, and they came down through seven church ages. And who was in the midst? He was the judge. And so therefore he stood there backing every word. And at the end time, the full word brought him into full view. He said, now you've been talking about me all these years. You've been selling indulgence in my name all these years, building churches all these years, and here I am now. He said, I'm here with my fan in my hand. Let's see what happens. And they go like chaff before the wind. And he said to the bride, he said, come on out. So he came out. Now he said, you didn't even do it. He said, you're the righteous, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what did you say? Well, he said, don't you understand parallelism? There's a blessing and there's a curse.
Amen.
And don't you know what the real blessing is? The real blessing is lies in election and God's goodness. And whomsoever he will, he blesses and loves.
Amen.
He said, get above all these things. He said, well, you got to have fresh washing from this organizational junk you've been into. You thought putting your name on a book and you doing this and you doing that. He said, it wasn't at all. It's what I was doing.
Amen.
Now you get where the real blessings are. You don't have to bless yourself anymore. See where the real curse is. The real curse is spiritual death.
Amen.
Not recognizing God. They didn't. But that's the picture through the Bible, not recognizing God.
Amen.
Listen, what kind of a slumber shop did Eve go to that day when the enemy could come by and say, after God had said it, oh, now come on, Eve, that's not the way it is. What kind of wool did she have pulled over her sheepy eyes? Don't think the devil can't pull the wool over your eyes. Your own wool, too. He's done it. But this age now is too late.
Amen.
See, there's got to be a restoration.
Amen.
There's the blessing. There's the thing that's going on. See? Now listen. We're back to the true cosmos. In the beginning was the true cosmos. The true order. What happened? Infiltration, perversion. But God so loved his own order that the Son died for sprinkling his blood upon the very earth. That's why this earth is coming back. Don't you see the magnitude of God loving his own order? He won't lose even one of those gnats. Then he knew how many times he'd bat his eyes. And how many pounds it would make to make a pound of tallow when he rendered the whole thing done. God's not going to lose any. That's why he said he'd destroy those that destroy the earth. His own order's coming back. We are on the verge of a divine order. That's exactly why time has emerged and united with eternity.
Amen.
It was only done spiritually a while ago. Now it's done physically. Time and space are in different category. Dimension, all these things. I know people think we're crazy. Well, praise God. I'm happy crazy. The only time I'm happy is when I'm crazy. So what do you do? You just feel sorry for a nut, don't you? Oh, no, not a religious nut. Not me. Put him on the skewer. And let's see, who likes him? Well done? Medium? Rare? Is it off? It's about all over? 3-5 minutes? Well, I'll just read one little bit here. He said, I read it here. He said, all right, purge your own souls. He said, yes, sir. He said, that's the great thing. He said, anything contrary to the word of God is wrong. As far as I'm concerned, it's the word of nothing. Yes, sir. The greatest purging is the purging of the mind. And we'll close with that. Brother Brown says, I don't believe in purging, but the purging's in the Bible. The purging of the mind is over here in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. It says, casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring to captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. Tells you right there. That's a big battle going on. A prophet comes and it's a battle for the minds.
Amen.
Because a man will put his strength if his mind is made up to a direction. Brother said, sure, I believe in purging. I believe these things, but I don't believe the way you believe. What will a true prophet do? He'll come and do what Brother Branham did. He laid it out. He said, I'm telling you what a true prophet is. I've got all the earmarks here. Here, I'm a true prophet. And you turn me down flat. He said, what's going on? He said, judgment. He said, you don't like the way I do things? He said, I'm sorry, but I'm doing them anyway.
Amen.
He said, because that's the way it's got to be done. Now, he said, here's the earmarks. Line it up and show me where I'm wrong. The prophet is dead on. judgment is in the land, brother, sister. But remember, the real blessing and the real cursing is in progress right now. We're getting out of here. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, again we praise and thank you that we can see the simplistic thing laid out before us, and it's something already done, for the prophet has come and gone. It's just like it was with John the Baptist. He came and he went. Just like with Jesus Christ, who couldn't do otherwise, he came and he went. And man stands back and looks over the situation and said, well, if we'd have been there, we would not have done that. Then turns right around and does it again, showing exactly what he is. But Father, it could make us just scream with joy and relief to know that we didn't do it. That if there is one thing that begins to make us believe that we are a part of this whole thing, is the fact that we didn't do that. That we're in the process of turning round and round and round until we make an absolute 180-degree turn. Right turned around. Absolutely looking upon you. No more creeds, no more dogmas. And now, Father, there's just one thing, and you know we always like that one thing to add. And we know in your due time you're going to work it out. And that is, may our conduct, the very atmosphere of this being here that is so joined with you, also give forth the same fragrance, even though we are engaged in battle. That we are not in a battle of White House plumbers and dirty tricks. We're in a battle like Moses. If we're right, there's no way you can turn but stand right with it, no matter what happens to anybody else. We can't move. If they're right, we're gone. Help us to leave the die cast there in your hands. Once we've delivered our souls, Lord, we do by delivering the word. As far as word concerned, and from there on, we deliver our souls by receiving word. And Lord God, if we really walk in faith, your spirit will move in that word in human vessels. And there'll be manifestation there also. Go with each one of us. Guide, protect us, help us, keep us. And may we grow up as calves of the stall, rejoicing in the Lord God. Wonderful, wonderful Savior, rejoicing,